The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You are joining We the People Radio. We are streaming and chatting worldwide at wethepeopleradio.us. You're listening to KCNR 1460, community radio, free fire media. The call-in number is 530-605-4567. We are hoping that you will call in today because we are going to talk all things immigration, amnesty, and open borders. You're joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. And Aaron is on her way. And Bob, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Elizabeth.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I feel like I never left the studio. The baseball
doubleheader. That's right.
We had a doubleheader, so we carried about a game and a half worth of action last
night. How late were you?
The broadcast wrapped up at a quarter till midnight.
Oh, man. You were in here then?
Yes.
So is that why there's a sleeping bag and a cot in the lobby?
I seriously considered that. Yes.
Hey, so I wanted to chat a little bit about a really interesting experience I had last night. We have some visitors in town, and so we went out to dinner, and we went to a local restaurant, and our wait person was a young lady who was very pleasant, and we started to talk about what we were eating, and one of our visitors is from China, and so she always orders her water warm, and the waitress was telling us that the reason for that is because as you're eating your food, you know, you're obviously going to have some oils, some fats in most things that you eat. And what happens is if you drink ice water with your meal, it constricts your veins and it solidifies the fats and the oils into plaque. So the Chinese know this and they drink warm water. So anyway, that led to another conversation. The young lady started to talk about our food sources and some of the things that are happening to our food and where you should buy your food and where you shouldn't buy your food. And then she said, and we talked about lots and lots of people are now jumping into the home garden business, and she said, but what good is that going to do us if they're destroying our soil and we got into chemtrails? And so we're having this incredible conversation with this young woman who ultimately told us she was 26, and so she took our orders, she went back into the restaurant, she comes back later, and I said, you know, we're so happy to hear that somebody your age knows about what's going on because it's kind of unusual. And she said, well, not really. She said, everybody my age knows what's going on.
Wow.
Everybody my age knows what's going on.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. So then we had a few more discussions. She goes back into the restaurant. She comes back out. She says, I was just having a conversation with another one of my regular customers. I told her about you guys out here, and she wanted to know if you knew that Obama has appointed an ex-Monsanto CEO to head up the FDA. And we all nodded, and we all said, yeah, we know that. And she goes, yeah, I figured you would, and that's what I told her. But it was really encouraging to know that the 20-somethings are totally dialed in. I mean, those kids know what's going on.
See, everybody's not clueless. It's just that they're not necessarily all going to Tea Party meetings or whatever. People think, well, they're not at the meeting or whatever.
So they must not know or must not care.
Or don't care. But within their circles.
Not true.
Within their circles, there are a lot of people talking. And the people who aren't even positive of their facts are like, we think there's something funky going on.
And she also told us that and we experience the same frustration when you try to talk about some of these issues. For instance, the chemtrails. You try to point that out to people, and you know, they point out your tinfoil hat. And she runs into the same problem. So I just I thought that was a really neat conversation and really heartening.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, so for all the folks out there that we know, don't lose hope. The kids do know. They're just dealing with it in their own way.
Well, everybody has their own network. It just goes to show, you know, you should talk to the people that you know. Forget converting the unconvertible.
Right.
And work with people who actually care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old they are.
Instead of trying to push them up the hill.
Sure. People are always worried, oh, these people this age don't know, or those people, you know, at the end of the day, we haven't, you know, all of us that care about the country and what's going on and don't have our head, you know, either in the clouds or in the sand.
Yeah.
You know, people do care.
Yeah.
So
a little shout out to my new friend, Shandri.
Uh-oh, she said shout out. Bill was in the room. You took your life in your hands.
I did. That was pretty cool, though.
That's very cool.
Yeah, you think you can get Shandri to a tea party meeting?
I don't know. I'd have to go back to the restaurant and
see if she works.
Trying to young up the demographics.
See if she works on Mondays.
Yeah, she's awesome. Beautiful girl, too.
That's
gorgeous.
Fun.
Yeah, so anyway.
It was interesting. My nephew.
You had company as well.
Yeah, I did. And I thought I had 2 minutes to spare when I walked through the door, too. Imagine my surprise when the red light was on, by the way. apparently, my car clock is incorrect.
Yeah, it's nice to have those extra.
I was all sauntering
in. But it's nice to have that extra padding on your time, on your clock.
What the heck? What's up with the red light? So, sorry, I missed the music and all the frivolity there. It's fine.
Must have been that EMT pulse.
Must have been it. But let's see, the one kid was like 18 and my nephew 16. And it was interesting because we were hanging out because they were out late fishing and stuff. Oh, my gosh, after we saw you at Movies in the Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, they went fishing at midnight for catfish.
How'd they do?
They did bad. They got a few bites, but nothing, you know. So
when are they going home?
They left yesterday.
Okay.
So yesterday morning, they roll in at 5 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
Five after five, after fishing. So everybody rolls out of bed around noon or one.
Yeah.
You know, we call the pizza guy.
Nice.
We watch a movie.
Nice. That's like perfect.
Classic loitering at Annie Aaron's.
Yeah, we had a lot of visitors this week, but our folks that are with us right now are, up from, around the Santa Barbara area, somewhere around there. And it's a family member who is an aeronautical engineer who owns his own small manufacturing company and has really noticed a big bite in the economy. And so, you know, there's nothing like being in the real world to make you aware of what's going on. And
sure.
And
but it's interesting how, like, okay, those kids live in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah.
So they, even, you know, in high school there, you know, got a junior and a just graduated senior, kind of aware of what's going on, not clueless by any means.
Yeah,
but interesting that on I kind of got my day screwed up. I guess it was Friday, and the news was on, and they had the Trayvon Martin things, you know, droning on endlessly, and they said, "What's the deal with that anyway?" And then the picture of him came up. And it was the picture of when he was like 10 years old.
Sure. That's the one that the media has been using.
Yeah.
They don't use the ones where he's flipping everybody off.
No.
And or holding a gun.
Or has. It was interesting, though, because the picture with the. When he was like 10 years old comes on, right? And I said, yeah, would you be interested to know the kid was 7 years older than that? And they both looked at me. They go, yeah. Are you serious?
That's not how old he was when this happened.
I said, yeah, he's your age. You know, he was
and
your
big.
Age when this
and he
happened.
He was big.
Yeah.
Big guy.
And they said, well, why are they showing a picture of when he was 10? They're like, pictures of us when we were 10. We were little, too. And I said, well, watch for a few minutes to see if you can figure it out. Then this other picture comes on, and his friend looks at the TV, and he goes, what the heck? That guy's got gray gangster, gold gangsta teeth, but they grayed him out. He goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, they grayed him out so no one would see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, welcome to the world.
Yeah, welcome to the mainstream media.
Yeah, it was just interesting. They hadn't really noticed that before.
And that's why, you know, when you're, don't take everything at face value. One of our guests, they're heading out actually. As soon as the show is over, I gotta run home and say goodbye, but,
just tell them from here.
Yeah. But, she's, from China, and we asked her last night what, China thinks of the U.S. or what their view of the U.S. is. And actually, China does believe that the U.S. will still remain the superpower for at least another 15 to 20 years. That's the impression that the people have.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But after that,
I guess we better pull it together.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that interesting?
It's going to be a big disappointment.
It's always nice to
know.
Who
does she think is more repressive at this point? China.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, she's here on a work visa because she is a textile engineer. And she came here and got an MBA, was brought over here because of her expertise and knowledge. And she married our family member. And it's been 2 years, and they won't grant her her permanent green card due to her marriage. She said, anywhere else, any other time, anybody else, takes 6 months. It's been 2 years. She's still waiting. They won't answer her. Oh, and by the way, our family member joined the state militia as soon as Obamacare was considered constitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court. You think there's a connection there?
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and
here,
sorry.
I was just going to blame it on the Tea Party.
And if you're listening, Tim, you should have known I would talk about you. That's what I do. Well, people want to know what's going on. They need to hear real-life stories.
Yeah, because it really is about time. And, you know, you have people in a real... It's funny, I was thinking about that yesterday, that people are really in a crossroads, I guess, at this point. Because you have a lot of people who stood up a long time ago.
Sure.
You know, and you have people who stood up long before we ever showed up. And were saying, hey, something's haywire. And we were like, yeah we're busy working and doing this
and
that.
Oh, there have been people predicting this for 20, 30 years.
Exactly. So there were always folks doing that. Then kind of the groundswell started, you know, back in 2009. And lots of people kind of came forward. But remember at that time, people were afraid. You know, hey, is the sheriff taking down my license plate number? Yeah. You know, they weren't sure who was on what side.
Exactly. They didn't know who to trust.
Yeah, they didn't know what was going on. Now people have gotten a little more politically savvy. They've had a chance to, for instance, like meet their sheriff. They actually understand, you know, about the 10th Amendment a little bit more. They understand what the sheriff does and how important that is and who the person is, and it's important to get to know them. So you have all these people who have evolved over time. But now with this NSA thing and, you know, the Verizon, you know, records going out, well, and everybody else's for that matter. But all that stuff happening, you have people going back again into the woodwork.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, folks.
Yeah, don't hide now.
Now isn't the time.
Yeah.
I've got my don't tread on me flag on the house.
Well, we were talking last night at dinner. We all know that we've got a big,
by accident.
You know, we all know that we have, you know, a big red X on our back and... The four of us having dinner last night, we know it. We don't care.
Well,
it is what it is.
There, we have somebody that we've interviewed before who was very outspoken, very loud and bold, and now is trying to decide if they should move to a foreign country because they feel like they're on a list. I'm on a list. I better move away. It's like...
Too late.
Hi, you better stand up.
Yeah.
This is not the time to shrink. And I'm like, where are you going to move? Honestly?
Yeah. Sure.
Where are you going to go? Are you going to watch the country burn from another country?
You're not Edward Snowden. I don't think everybody's going to hide you.
Yeah, but even that... I mean, honestly, how do you reconcile that?
Sure.
I'm going to move to some other place, and I'm going to watch the country flame out because I'm too chicken to help.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know what? Do what you can from where you are.
Yeah,
and they can't get us all on the same day.
Right,
just doesn't work that way.
Right,
and there's somebody out there going, "Yes, they can."
It'd be interesting. Okay. So my driver's license expires on August 1st, and it'll be interesting to see if I get a new one. It's just the little things.
I got a new one this week.
Did you?
I did.
When's your birthday?
July 2nd.
Oh,
well, happy birthday.
Well, Bob, how come we didn't know that? Okay, Bob, you need to play.
You didn't ask.
Oh. He didn't tell us.
Hey, by the way, when we had our fireworks...
I'm putting in my calendar right now.
The fireworks show, Anderson Explodes, you know, when we were all out at... at our private location watching the fireworks.
Yeah, that was on the night of the 3rd.
Yeah, we were listening to the music that they had to go along with it. All I could think of was, I wish that Bob had done the music.
Right.
Oh, you would have been phenomenal. Wouldn't that have been great, Aaron?
That would have been
super fun. Think about it, if Bob had done the music. Because it was 2/3 into the show before they finally played something patriotic.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I kept, and it was all...
Really?
Most of the music, I mean, my little nieces that are under the age of 12 were all singing along and knew all the words to all the music that they were playing, so what does that tell you? You know, 2/3 of the show, and finally they get to Lee Greenwood.
Targeted at the younger demographics.
Yeah, they were. Finally they get to Lee Greenwood, which is like my all-time favorite patriotic song. I love that. And we were playing it on our car stereo, nice and loud to go along with the fireworks, and halfway through Lee Greenwood, my battery died.
No. Just another benefit to being out in the free world.
That's right.
Go to the fireworks thing, kill your battery. How'd you guys get out of there? Did somebody jump?
Well, I had jumper cables, and we had family there, and we just hooked up our cars. And That's why you bring family. So
all the batteries don't go down at the same time. My theory still holds.
That's great.
We did actually play patriotic music here on the station on the morning of the 4th in place of the news and Free Fire Radio.
Nice.
And Bob Alonji actually put that block of music together.
Yay, Bob.
And it was...
very cool.
That's the thing for the 4th of July. We should have had fireworks to go along with it, I guess, except it was 6 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, so for all of you people that are tuning in and think all we do is chit-chat, it's not true. We're going to get to our guest, Alex Landy, after the next break. But I wanted you to know that if you are tuning in for the first time, this show is almost 3 years strong, and we focus on everything under the umbrella of limited government, adherence to the Constitution, fiscal responsibility, and so many things.
And we dig those free markets.
Yes, and we love the free markets. And we're hoping that you folks are going to call in today. You know, I know that we normally are very heavy in the guest area, guests who have expertise that none of us have. But today we really do want to hear from you. We want to know what you think about immigration. We want to know what you think about amnesty. We want to know if you've had personal experiences, family that have had experiences. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, exactly. So the phone number is 530-605-4567. And if you call us at 2 minutes to the hour, we're not picking up.
Yeah.
So you
got to give us a little lead time.
Plan that. Plan that now. All right, we're coming back. We're going to have Alex Landy with us. We're talking about immigration and things about the immigration bill here at 1460.
The bluebirds flying by me, like the waves out on the blue sea. If your love has to tie me, don't try me, say goodbye.
And we're back. We the People Radio, hiding out in the open.
What the heck was that?
That was one more freedom song for you, forgotten favorite from the Monkees.
Oh, nice.
I want to be free.
And if we didn't mention it before, you really need to pay very close attention to the music on every show that we do, because Bob does an absolutely phenomenal job of matching music to topics.
And it's usually funny, so if you're not laughing, you should have your sense of humor updated.
We have very serious topics, but we really like to poke fun.
We do.
And Bob is a musical savant.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
It's because Elizabeth makes me have a cup every Sunday morning that's from the National Sarcasm Society.
But we try not to be inappropriate. I mean, if it's a really serious topic.
Then we don't make fun.
We don't try to be inappropriate. We go there naturally, and it's really we try to rein that in.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We're holding back. Okay, so we're going to talk to Alex Landy, but I'm going to give you a little rundown on him. Alex Landy has been an activist on the issue of illegal immigration for 23 years. He and others could see the growing problem and the failure of the 1986 Simpson-Mazzoli early on and knew what this would mean for the country, and we'll find out from him what that is. He regards the latest attempt to grant amnesty to millions of illegal immigrants as the greatest attempted scam on the American people in our nation's history. While retired now, he has never retired from his second career protecting this country from its own political leaders and other special interests. Illegal immigration is the greatest war we face on American jobs.
Exactly. So we titled our show, To Amnesty or Not to Amnesty?
That is
the question.
Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Alex, thanks for calling. We were having a little computer challenge.
Well, good morning to both of you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while. We were just looking at the calendar, and the last time you joined us was November of 2010.
Yeah.
You were long overdue for an update.
Well, I shouldn't have waited so long because we're in the middle of a sellout, and like I said, a huge scam, and it has to be stopped.
Now, I think we're going to let you run with this and decide which direction you want to take us.
Okay, great.
But at some point, I would really like to know what you think of the Gang of Eight, and maybe even on an individual basis, because there are some serious sellouts in that group that we had hopes for.
Well,
may I say Marco Rubio?
You may.
All right, should I go now?
No, you go for it. We'll be quiet. That's all right. We're done.
Just talk over us. We'll do the same to you.
That's the way you have to do it.
Okay, well, listen, immigration is an incredibly important issue, and if it's done right, it can greatly benefit a nation. If it's done wrong, it can greatly hurt it. There are two kinds of immigration, legal and illegal, and in my opinion, we're doing both wrong, and we have been for a long time. But the issue today is illegal immigration. As you know, 1986, we had the first mass amnesty of about 2.7 million people, and we were told at the time that this was a one-time deal. We would never be asked to accept another one, and all these provisions and promises were made, and money was supposed to be allocated, and everything was going to be enforced, and it was all going to be taken care of. And, of course, that never happened. The promises were broken. And even in 2006, the co-authors of the bill, Simpson and Mazzoli, in a Washington Post interview, said, well, the whole thing failed. It failed because neither party took it seriously or followed through. And they also said something which just astonished me. They expressed surprise that when they amnestied millions of people, that millions more came. Now, what did they think was going to happen? So now it's worse than ever, and our politicians want to fix this evil, broken system by granting amnesty to another 11 or 12 million, and they forget that they are the system. They are the ones that are broken, just as they broke their promises, and they have this huge mess they don't want to deal with. And for a variety of reasons, they just want to grant amnesty and hope the problem goes away, and we can't let that happen. So I am against this amnesty. For the Democrats, they're hoping for millions of new Democrats down the road. Unfortunately, a lot of Republicans, including those on the Gang of Eight, are reacting in fear and cowardice, and they hope that if they sell out the rest of us by pushing this amnesty, they'll pick up a few votes from those Hispanic Americans whose primary loyalty seems to be to illegal immigrants. And that is a sellout. And it just can't happen. So I'm hoping that it'll be stopped in the House. I think it can be. But more than that, even if amnesty itself is stopped, we still have to deal with the issue of the presence of so many millions of illegal immigrants who are working so many millions of American jobs. Now, people in both parties like to talk about jobs, jobs, jobs. But it is... the presence of millions of illegals is the biggest war in American jobs out there. According to Pew Research, they're working about 8.4 million jobs. And the groups that are most directly and hardest hit by this are the young, the poor, American minorities, including American Hispanics, and blue-collar workers. Now, these are all groups the Democrats claim to care about and represent. Mm-hmm. But obviously, they're willing to sacrifice these people in hopes of keeping the illegals here and someday getting millions of new Democrat voters. If the Republicans go along with this for some hope for paltry short-term gain in Hispanic votes, they are committing long-term political suicide. But far more importantly than that, they are really going to harm this country in ways that will be almost difficult to imagine. So this cannot be allowed to happen, so what I do is try to wake people up, inform them, motivate them. The amnesty people have come 98 yards down the field, and they can see the goal line, and they don't want to stop. They have to be stopped. And in my view, the Republican Party, instead of reacting in fear, should pick up the anti-illegal immigration football and run with it as fast as they can, represent themselves as the party that represents Americans, and let the Democrats paint themselves as the party that represents foreigners in this country illegally, and then let the American people decide. And I do a lot of reading and writing on the Internet, and I see where Democrats keep trying to tell Republicans that if you don't go along with this amnesty, well, you'll never win again. That is total nonsense, and it is designed to encourage the fear of Republicans. The Republicans should go in the other direction and be the heroes of the country, number one, to save the country from the long-term consequences of yet another amnesty. And a byproduct of that will be they will greatly increase their popularity. Let the Democrats sink themselves as the party that's trying to betray the country. So that's my my basic position. We have to stop amnesty, and ultimately, we can't allow the status quo to continue. We have to resolve this once and for all by sending the illegal immigrants home. And yes, that can be done, and far more easily than people think.
So I need to take a breath. Anybody have a question?
Well, it's okay. We were doing that. We were on radio silence. You guys had a great idea a couple of years ago, and we definitely want to get into that. How about we take a quick break so that we don't have them all at the top of the hour? We're coming right back with Alex Landy. We're talking about immigration, and if you would like to phone in and ask a question or make a comment, 530-605-4567 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
To the heart of America. People were waiting in line for a place by the river. It was a time when strangers were welcome here. Music would play, they'd tell me the days were sweet and clear. It was a sweet
Lollipops, rainbows, and utopia on the backs of the American taxpayers.
But see, they came to live by the river, and see, the minute I heard that, I'm like,
homeless.
Oh, no. I'm like, oh, think of the regulation.
Yeah.
That's got to suck.
Yeah. Hey, so real quickly, before we get on track with our guest, just wanted to shout out all of those who, that was for Bill again, all of those who attend the Reading Tea Party meeting on Monday nights. Tomorrow night we've got Stan Statham that's going to be joining us to talk about the state of Jefferson. That has reared its head again.
Still,
people want it more than ever.
People have just had it.
And interesting, because he was elected as a Republican to the California State Assembly in 1976, he is now registered as a declined state.
There you have it.
So anyway, jump on board. Join us tomorrow night, 2670 South Bonneville Road in Reading.
And the reason he's the speaker for that is he actually led the fight for that a long
mm-hmm.
time ago.
Right. So it should be good.
He's got some really good historical context on that. And I think he might be on the radio here Monday morning. I'm not sure. There was rumor about that.
Well, he was is a broadcaster. He took time out from his broadcasting
That's
career
right,
for about 20
that.
Years to serve in the state. What was it? Assembly.
Actually, one of us.
Legislature.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Assembly.
Yeah, I think it must have been before the term limits, because it was a mm-hmm. long period of time that didn't have all the part assembly, part Senate, you know, all the jockey in there.
But now he's the president of the California Broadcasters Association.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Nice.
So chances are he's a good speaker.
Chances are.
I think he will be.
Chances are he has a voice for radio. What do you know?
Okay. So Alex, I had a quick question. Give us the history on Simpson and Mazzola.
Now, the Simpson-Mazzola bill, what was your specific question?
Well, how did you... I mean, I read an article on Real Clear Politics. Easy for me to say. we were supposed to have that link on the page, but it looks like it didn't carry through. It said, this thing said Simpson-Mazzola all over again. So for those of us who weren't paying attention in 1986, what was that bill, and how does that connect to what we have now?
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Growing up in Southern California, I began to see the illegal immigration problem in the 1970s. By the 1980s, it was clear we had a real problem. And in 1986, Simpson Mazzola, a senator from each party, got together and put together the 1986 Immigration Reform and Control Act. And the idea was that there was going to be a one-time amnesty. They admitted they had let things get out of control, but they passed all these various laws and requirements and allocated money and promised to enforce from here on in. Now, President Reagan signed it, but at the time, he said a nation that can't control its borders is not really a nation. And both parties supported this because they didn't know what else to do, or they didn't want to do something else. So they amnestied 2.7 million people. It turned out to be more in the long run, but that's another story. And the idea was that it would no longer be a problem. It was a one-time deal. Americans could forget about it. It would be taken care of. Now, if they had enforced the rules and kept their promises, allocated the money to do this, and set up systems to do this properly, it might have worked out. But it didn't, and I don't think it was just failure. I think a lot of politicians never really wanted this to work out. They didn't see it as a big problem from their perspective. And I remember when I was with a group back in the 1990s called Voice of Citizens Together, run by a man named Glenn Spencer, we wrote and traveled and did interviews all over the country, and everybody said, well, you know, it's California's problem. And it wasn't. It was America's problem. We knew it was going to be everywhere. And, of course, that has happened. But at the time, our politicians just didn't see it as a big deal. They wanted to do something to quiet the people, I think, to stifle criticism. And this is what they came up with. And they never enforced it. It never worked. And, obviously, we got 11 or 12 or even more millions of illegal immigrants. Some demographers put the number much higher. I personally believe that the number is higher and that the government has been lowballing the figure in hopes of containing public outrage. But I can't prove that. That's based on everything I have seen and heard. But the point is, we have millions more now. And the promises and speeches we're getting right now sound just like the ones we got in 1986. And you'll notice that the politicians don't talk about 1986. They don't talk about Simpson-Mazzoli and the failure. They want people to believe that this is a new issue, and they are addressing it for the first time. And after 26 years of doing absolutely nothing, they're leaping into action, and they're going to fix this bad old broken system that broke itself by granting amnesty to 12 million more people. And they seem to think that's a good idea. Well, it's a terrible idea, and it's just another way in which politicians are totally out of touch with the needs of the country. If we've got 20 million Americans unemployed or underemployed, and illegal immigrants are working over 8 million American jobs. And by the way, only a tiny fraction of that number is the kind of field work that most Americans won't do. All the rest is in the occupations that Americans do now and have always done. They could put 8 million Americans back to work by sending the illegals home. So while they talk the talk, they won't walk the walk. The Democrats want these people to stay. The Republicans are running in fear, or who knows who's been bought out in what way or another. But nobody seems to be putting the country first. Now, I'm not a Republican, but I'm on the conservative side. And John McCain used to say, country first, one of the main leaders of the Gang of Eight. But it's obviously not country first with him anymore. It's Hispanic votes first. And as far back as the 1960s, all the environmental groups were warning us about the greatest danger to our population being illegal immigration, being overpopulation. And since the 1986 bill and the millions that were amnestied and the kids they've had, and probably in many cases grandkids, illegal immigration plus the 11 or 12 million that are here now, illegal immigration has probably added 30 million people to our environment. Now, that's an aspect that you don't hear discussed very often. But we're facing global warming, water shortages, diminishing resources, urban sprawl, you name it. And our population is exploding because of our immigration policies, both legal and illegal. And this is going to have consequences for future generations that are almost unimaginable. And they're all going to look back to this period in time and say, why didn't those idiots do something about this? They must have seen it coming. Well, a lot of us do, and but the issue has become politicized, and I really do sometimes feel like nobody is minding the store. Destiny-defining decisions are being made by politicians who are thinking only of political ramifications and not consequences to the country. So this is something that has to be taken care of. And by the way, as an aside, I was looking at your chat room, and you've got the usual suspects playing the race card, which is foolish on a number of levels. Number one, illegal is not a race. Illegals come from all over the planet, and they are all races. The majority come from south of the border, but that's just geography. Illegal is not a race, and we take in 1 million people a year legally of all races, and nobody's complaining about the race of legal immigrants. So the race baiters either want to believe that, or they're hoping to win arguments and silence us by calling us racist.
Well, you know, that's just a convenient way of voicing opposition when you really don't have any facts.
I think actually in the chat room everyone's screwing around because there are all sorts of combined names. We have a Filipino Colada. We've got we've Chuck Schumer.
They're making fun of people who play the race card.
I do believe we're Rio Grande Miguel. So feel free to join us in the chat room. It's always a barrel of laughs on Sunday morning. But it's true, though. The race card is the thing that always comes out, and so the facts so often get muddied because we don't get to them. I mean, you get shut down before you get to the facts. I'd like to, Alex, when we come back from the break, I can kind of hear the critic. I guess I always hear the critic's voices in the back of my head. And I can hear them saying, well, just because they come here illegally doesn't mean they're going to be Democrats. That's a ridiculous argument.
But see, I mean, there's an infrastructure that's in place to register them as soon as
So I just thought maybe we could hit on that. Let's actually address it rather than.
Oh, and what about the one?
Just everyone people know.
How about the one everyone came here as an immigrant?
Oh yeah, I like that one too. That's one of my favorites. So we're going to take a really quick break. We're going to be right back with Alex. We're talking about immigration, and nice. Who knew? Alrighty, you're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. So true.
I just changed my screen name on the chat room to Lindsey Grahamnesty. That was like my theme
song
right there. That's me.
That was you. Welcome back to We the People Radio with your host, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and Bob Martin. We're talking with Alex Landy, Amnesty, Grahamnesty, and immigration, legal and otherwise. So, Alex, what do you think about the critics out there?
Yeah. The fact that they can't see that this creates a block of voters, I think is disingenuous on the face of it. But honestly, why, you know, make the case.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think much of the critics. I don't think much of their trite propaganda phrases. The Democrats do figure that most of the amnestied millions will support the Democrat Party because they're grateful for amnesty. They'll see the Democrat Party as their friends. And as far as us all being immigrants, that's nonsense. An immigrant is someone who comes into the country and hopefully gets naturalized legally.
And contributes.
Pardon me?
And contributes.
Well, we get all the contributions we need from immigration through legal immigration. Illegal immigration is almost entirely negative. Mm-hmm. The immigration policy of any nation has to be set up for the benefit of the host nation. To say they all contribute is to say, well, let's bring in 50 million more and get more contributions. Everything quickly becomes a negative. It starts going down. You can't have too much of a good thing. Now, what I advocate is lowering the numbers of legal immigrants because of all these other concerns, particularly environmental, population, and all of that. Ending the chain migration and family reunification policies, which very often just give us a lot of people who are unskilled, poor, and I would focus mainly on cherry picking, getting the best and the brightest, bringing the kind of people in who really help the country. We have the right to do that. We're a sovereign nation. We have the right to set up our own policies for our own benefit and enforce those things without apology. The idea that because, quote-unquote, we're an immigrant nation, we're all immigrants, we have to take in everybody on the planet who has a problem and who wants a better life is beyond absurd. It's crazy, and like I said before, it's kind of a suicidal policy. So I would end illegal immigration completely. I would send the illegal immigrants home. That can be done, and I can tell you how I do it. I don't know how much time I have.
We go right up to the top of the hour.
Okay,
you
great.
Just roll on.
But we need to get a handle on both legal and illegal. And I'll concentrate on illegal immigration because I think a lot of people believe that, well, you have to round them up. It'll cost a fortune. I hear and see these arguments all the time. I've even seen Bill O'Reilly say several times, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. Well, we became a great nation because we said we can do things and not because we can't do things. We're not the home of the brave anymore. It's the home of the political correct. Our politicians have failed to do this job, but now the day of reckoning has come, and there is a big mess to clean up, and a lot of them perhaps don't know how it can be done. But just because you don't know how to do it doesn't mean it can't be done. And I think the key, and Mitt Romney was right, the key is absolutely self-deportation. It does work. We have seen it work. In those states which passed tougher laws, even if the laws were held up in the courts, hundreds of thousands of people self-deported because they saw that things were going to get tough for them, their future would be uncertain, and they left. And that didn't cost the states a dime. If the whole country did the same thing, it wouldn't cost the country any money or only a small amount. And given the fact that we're spending over $100 billion a year at all levels of government every year on people who aren't supposed to be here, for a tiny fraction of that cost, we could resolve this problem once and for all. And that's what the Republican Party ought to be thinking about, and that's what they ought to do. We can easily set up a set of circumstances which essentially force illegal immigrants just to go home. We can make it impossible for them to get work. We can order them out by a set deadline. We can back that up with severe consequences, including the permanent banishment of ever returning to this country. They wouldn't be able to come back legally or to work in the guest worker program we would set up for agriculture. They wouldn't be able to come to visit. They would be permanently banished. And when they understand that there are no states for them to go to, as there are now, no sanctuary states or cities, that the party is pretty much over, I guarantee you that millions will self-deport. Now, you could give them 6 months, you could give them a year, but all that's lacking is the political will and leadership of our so-called leaders who say, we're going to do what's best for the country, and it may be tough, but I'll tell you what, whatever trouble we face now is going to be nothing compared to the problems we face over the long term. And I want to see the Republican Party not only resist amnesty in the House, but end this problem and solve it, because only sending the illegals home tells the whole world that it's over. If you pass amnesty, millions more will come.
Yep.
If you continue the status quo, millions will come anyway because they'll see we're not serious about our own sovereignty. So there really is only one option that serves this country well, and that is repatriation. We don't have to round them up. We can force them to leave. When the deadline passes, we go after those that are still here. They're taken into custody, they're identified, put in a database, and then they're expelled. And if they ever try to come back to the country again, they will do 2 or 3 years hard jail time. And when people see that's happening, they will understand that they have to leave the country. And I don't care what your race is, what your income or educational level is, where you came from, ethnicity, none of that. If you're in the country legally, you're just another illegal alien. And it doesn't matter if you sneaked across the border or flew in first class and overstayed your visa. You're all the same, and you have something else in common. You need to go home, and we can make that happen.
We can provide that for you.
Sure.
Well, the lack of jobs here actually has been a bit of a self-deporter in some ways. At least it's
right.
Slowed it down.
Right.
But Alex, how do they even know how many people are here illegally?
Well, the government has been giving us the same statistics for at least 10 years.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm...
A lot has changed in 10 years, so...
How do we even know?
They need to update their numbers.
Well, we'll probably not know exactly, but there are a variety of ways to handle this. Now, many demographers say the number is much higher. but I can't speak to that as being true. But the Border Patrol says that for everyone they stop, 2 to 3 get through. And yet the numbers from the government never change year to year. Now, some people do go back and forth, but my guess is the numbers are at least 15 million. But the point is, once you make it clear that all those in the country legally have to go or they will face severe consequences, we don't even have to know how many are here. What we do have to know is that people are going home by the millions.
Nice.
If you have a national ID, which I'm not crazy about, but
we're going to talk about that after the first of the hour, Alex. We'll be right back.
Okay,
talking
great,
about immigration,
you.
Folks. We will be back with the second half of We the People Radio.
Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. You are joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our musical savant, Bob Martin. We are streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us, or you can go to kcnr1460.com. Jump on the chat room there. It's always alive and well and always entertaining and slightly sarcastic.
And feel free to make up a name for yourself that goes along with the topic.
There you go, because the music does. You may as well, too.
Exactly.
And if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you will find a bio of our guest, Alex Landy. And you can follow along with that as you listen to him, as well as individual links to archive shows from the last almost 3 years. And if you want to call, 530-605-4567 is the number. Jump in.
I think we've covered it.
Get involved.
You did. You
speak
did good.
Up. Speak out. Talk.
I was laughing when you said Bob's a musical savant. It reminded me of when my kids, one of them said to the other one, "You have ESP," and the other one's like, "No, I don't." Thought it was something bad. Savants are good, just for those
yes,
of you who don't know.
Just so you know. Just because it's a three-letter acronym does not mean it's a bad thing.
That's ESP, not savant.
Yes.
Savant's longer.
The ESP, not IRS.
Oh, that.
Those three-letter acronyms.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Alex and I solved immigration, actually, while we were on break. So we're sorry you guys missed that. No, okay, we're kidding. But he was telling me some interesting stuff on the break, so I wanted him to retread. You have to chew your cabbage twice, as they say this morning, Alex. We were talking about the definition of amnesty, because sometimes our political people get tangled in their own rope on that one.
Well, a lot of politicians and amnesty supporters are hiding behind the dictionary definition of amnesty, which essentially says total forgiveness, you're getting off scot-free. And they point out that since these people will have to jump through some hoops, meet some requirements, do various things, that there is not really amnesty, therefore the politicians are not pro-amnesty. I reject that completely, because the dictionary definition doesn't work here, and they shouldn't get away with it. If you allow 12 million people to stay here, they came illegally, and you're saying, well, you can stay, we're legalizing you, we're putting you on a path, that's certainly de facto amnesty. It's amnesty from the offense they committed by being here illegally. And the consequences are pretty much the same as just giving amnesty. As we saw in the Simpson-Mazzoli bill, there was no follow-up. People really didn't have to jump through those hoops. The government has a terrible track record on this issue. I don't trust it at all for a variety of reasons. And among them of which is incompetence. They'll promise all sorts of things. They'll tell us what we want to hear. They'll try to shut us up. And then nothing will happen. They'll do a terrible job of making people meet these requirements. And my guess is they'll try to speed up the 13-year process. The Democrats won't want to wait that long for the votes they think they can get. And it'll be just another disaster, although this one would be permanent. Because I think if we back down again with yet another one-time amnesty, and by the way, this would be number 8, if people don't know that, people around the world will just come to the conclusion that America will never be serious about its sovereignty. We'll just pack our bags, we'll go, and we'll wait for the next one-time amnesty. So I go back to the point where this can't happen and you have to send people home, and only that will stop the endless flow. I know that people want to come here, and there are things about our country that they like. That's fine. I understand they want better lives. Nobody understands that better than Americans. But everybody in the world who wants a better life simply cannot come here. You can't solve the problems of the world by giving out amnesties. All you can do is mess up your own country in the process, and that's already happening. So this would be the terminal amnesty. And nobody should listen to the argument that it's really not amnesty because there are requirements. That's just a non-starter. That should be thrown back in the face of anybody who says that.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, now you said this would be the amnesty discussion number what, 8?
Yeah, after the 1986 amnesty, there were several more mass legalizations. Now, they weren't all exactly the same as the Simpson-Mazzoli bill. But from the year 1986 to the year 2000, there were a number of mass legalizations for other reasons. There were earthquakes in Central America, civil wars, catastrophes and hurricanes. Amnesties were given to Nicaraguans, to Haitians. A late amnesty was given to a lot of illegal immigrants who probably came after 1986, but you said they were here, they just didn't get around to it. So another million people were amnestied under that category. And so from 1986 to 2000, there were several mass legalizations. Those that came under temporary refugee status from the earthquakes and the civil wars, that kind of thing, their temporary status was simply rolled over and then rolled over again. And then, of course, I said, well, geez, you know, our life is here now. We've had children, et cetera, et cetera. And the government caved in once again and amnestied millions more. So between the 1986 amnesty and the several subsequent legalizations, about 5.5 million people have already been legalized to be in this country. And now they want to do 11 or 12 million more. And even something like the DREAM Act, where you can see, well, kids were brought here when they were young. They didn't make the decision to come here. We should let them stay and help them, et cetera, et cetera. On a certain level, I can understand that. But on a larger level, I'm really against that, because it's just another way of excusing the presence of many people in this country illegally. Nobody in the government ever says, let's stop this. Let's finally make a decision that's good for America. It's always about the illegal immigrants. It's always about their feelings, their hopes, their dreams. Well, I have a dream, too. A lot of us do. And the dream is that our borders and laws will be respected and enforced. Our politicians will do the job we pay them to do, which is to take care of us. You know, nobody hires a politician with the idea that they're going to be nice to illegal immigrants who are essentially trespassers. And yet the politicians fall all over themselves saying, we have to be nice to these people. It's who we are as Americans. And I would say, well, who are we as Americans? Patsies? No, suckers? Stupid? Why don't we look out for ourselves? Since we take in more legal immigrants than anybody else on the planet, we have the most generous quotas by far. Why on earth isn't that enough? Why do we have to take in everybody who wants to come here? Or otherwise, people will think we're mean-spirited.
Well, the other thing, too, is what does that do? I mean, that completely screws up all the people who have actually applied to come here. Those folks that are trying to follow the immigration policy, which is not mm-hmm. great.
Right.
I mean, it's cumbersome, difficult, complicated, expensive, I mean, whatever all adjectives you want to throw at it. So that's not easy. And then the illegal guys skate right by them, and if they can hang here long enough, they're in.
Yeah.
So it's actually a...
What a huge slap in the face to the people that did it right.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. I mean, that wouldn't work for dog training, kid training. I mean, you can't do that. You can't say, don't do this, and here this other idea is easier, faster, has perks, and stop doing it, by the way.
Hey, and Alex, do you talk to people that have immigrated here legally?
No, not since I've been living mm-hmm. where I live now. I don't I don't know any personally. I used to, a long time ago, as an employer, have to deal with the situation. Yeah. This is back before we were on our guards. I used to manage restaurants, and I would have people come in and apply for the job, only to find out later they were illegal immigrants. This is before the I-9 forms, before we had any of that. And they would come, and they would just disappear, or one day they wouldn't show up, but they would send their brother, quote-unquote, for them that day. And it just became very, very strange. And in restaurants, those are a lot of the jobs that young people traditionally get as they start their working careers, and suddenly those jobs were being lost to them. You mentioned the people who are trying to come here legally, and our politicians like to say, well, we're not giving the illegals amnesty. It's going to take years. We're sending them to the back of the line. That's another insult to our intelligence, because the back of the line would be in their own countries. The people who really are in the back of the line are those, like Aaron said, who are waiting patiently, coming here legally, jumping through our hoops, meeting our requirements, showing us respect for our laws and requirements, and it may take them years to get in. They are in the back of the line, and one can only imagine what they think when they see illegals being allowed to stay and then now talk of amnesty. And at the same time, the politicians who want to get them amnesty are saying, well, they're really in the back of the line. This is insanity.
Yeah, that's really silly.
It's terrible. And the problem is the politicians are so arrogant and, frankly, disgusting right now. Many of them. Certainly not all. So let me be careful there. But we know who the arrogant ones are, the ones who are contemptuous of our intelligence. But we've let them develop that attitude because we have been so silent for so long. And it's like anything else in life. You let a problem go on too long, whether you gain 50 pounds or you get deeply in debt, when the day of reckoning comes, it's hard. It could have been a lot easier if you dealt with things all along. And it's hard to work up the gumption and the initiative to say, okay, today it stops. Today I start solving these problems. And that's what we need to do on this issue for the country. But instead of getting leadership from our politicians, from too many of them, especially the ones in positions of power, we're being dragged in exactly the wrong direction. And they're doing that for their own purposes, their own agenda. And as far as I'm concerned, many of them have forfeited their right to hold their positions. And I only hope the voters start taking revenge on some of these people at the ballot box.
What do you see as the benefit they gain by pushing policies like this?
Well, there are several benefits. There are several special interest groups out there. First of all, you have the employers who like the idea of cheap, exploitable labor. And I'm sad to say that many of these people, I've had some interesting conversations, many of these people see themselves as patriotic Americans, but they don't give a second thought to the problems they dump on their communities and the rest of their country while they pursue cheap labor no matter what. That becomes their priority, and the country be darned. You've got ethnic groups who want more of their kind for purposes of political and cultural power. You've got those politicians who believe they will definitely benefit in a variety of ways by having more people who will see them as heroes and who will sign up with their party. The Republicans are hoping to pick up some Hispanic votes, or they're hoping not to be called racist. There are a lot of reasons for doing this, and almost everybody that does this, even an entire political party like the Democrats, is just a special interest group that is putting their interest ahead of the interest of the country. And in the case of politicians, that's particularly egregious because we hired them and we pay them to look out for our interests, but they are not doing that. So nobody is looking down the road. Politicians, as a breed, are not known for looking down the road to the long-term consequences of things. They tend to think in terms of election cycles and their own political careers. And I think what the voters have to do is make it clear to those who support amnesty that they're not going to have a long-term career, that they are going to face short-term consequences because of their betrayal of this country. We have to get past the idea that we're Democrats or Republicans, and that's why growing numbers of people are registering as independents and they're shedding party loyalty. I'm a conservative, but I have no party loyalty. I just don't believe in it. And if you shed your party loyalty, you can support one side or the other. But if you shed your loyalty, your blind loyalty, you won't give these people a pass when they're really sticking it to you and the country. You have to hold them accountable no matter what. Future generations are depending upon us making the right decisions. And I think it's just time to step up to the plate. So the real benefit from resolving this is long-term and very great. Managing our population, putting millions of our workers back to work, going easier on our environment, cherry-picking the best and the brightest of immigrants. On legal immigration, I would actually advocate a moratorium. We've done those before. It's nothing new. Not a complete moratorium, but there's no need to take in over a million people a year. And a lot of them aren't particularly skilled or well-educated. It's family reunification and chain migration. So I would have a moratorium on legal immigration with the exception of about 50,000 a year. These would be absolutely the best and the brightest, and certain people who are leading the struggle for democracy in other countries but who may need sanctuary here, there are always exceptions you make.
Sure.
I would have a moratorium for at least 5 years.
Well, we haven't even talked about the folks that come here on student visas, work visas, all that stuff, and never leave. But we need to take a really quick break. We will be back with Alex Landy. We're talking about immigration. We're definitely not solving the problem this morning, but we are discussing all the pieces of it. So call us in this next quarter hour or give up your right to the phone. 530
forever hold your
peace. 530-605-4567. Our favorite song's coming up here on We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR.
Filled up my head with so many lies. Twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Turned on the flames. Be coming to America. Never looking back.
We the People Radio. Go to wethepeopleradio.us for everything you need to know. Hey, so before we jump back to Alex, I wanted to give some information out for folks that want a little more information on the cost of amnesty. There is a gentleman by the name of Dennis Michael Lynch, Hollywood producer, who produced two movies, and I'm going to give you the information on those, and I just lost it. Part one is The Cost of Illegal Immigration. Part two is They Come to America, The Cost of Amnesty. And you can find both of those films at, bear with me here, theycometoamerica.com. He was recently previewed on Sean Hannity for a solid hour, and that aired on July 4th on Fox News. If you go to YouTube and just type in Dennis Michael Lynch, Fox News, you can probably pull up that YouTube video of that segment on Sean Hannity. But I watched part two, The Cost of Amnesty. It was a great, great film. It was actually pretty long.
Sally said part two is better than part one.
Yeah.
And for all those of you that are going to say, why don't you guys have him on the show? Oh, hey, what a good idea. We've been sending him emails for like over a year.
The guy's busy.
I don't know what the deal is. They don't even write back and say no, thank you.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, just crickets. That's all we get are crickets.
So that kind of gives the lowdown from her. I mean, he hits the road and travels and talks to people, and you get a really good picture of the true cost.
I do think, like when we spoke with Alex a couple years ago, mm-hmm. we were talking about, you know, sending people home. And that is always where, I mean, you know, that's just one.
That's where the rubber hits the road.
Mm-hmm. That's a massive sticking point. You guys had a really good idea, that 6 month to a year self-deportation idea. And honestly, the pivotal piece of that is the E-Verify.
Mm-hmm.
Alex?
What do you think, Alex?
Are you on? Oh, Alex. Yep. Alex is on radio silence. You're back now.
There are problems, but every one of these problems can be solved. We have a political class that won't even pass E-Verify.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, that's such a no-brainer.
Well, they won't even, I mean, let's face facts, we had to go to the Supreme Court to decide whether or not you could require a driver's license at a polling place to vote. So, you know, our troubles run deep.
Well, it's things like that. It's failures to address issues like that that makes you wonder if they really want to do anything about this at all. I think most of them just really don't want to be bothered. I was, again, looking at your chat room, and Rally Sally is on there, and she was saying the border has to be closed before we can even think of anything else. But that's true. But, you know, that's really not enough, because it's not a border issue. It's not a Mexican issue. It's not a Latino issue or Hispanic issue. The issue is endless and massive illegal immigration, and people do come from all over the world. We have millions of people here from Asia, from Europe, from Africa, from every place else, and of all races and ethnicities. Some of the people here illegally are very wealthy. They bring their money with them, et cetera, et cetera. But they didn't want to, they came legally and overstayed their visas. They didn't want to go through the process. It was all about them and not respecting us. Now, that offends me as an American. I know that if we just keep talking about the border, it allows the open border and amnesty people to phrase it in racial terms. And that's not right. It's unfair. It's just flat out wrong, and frankly, it's counterproductive. So this isn't about the border. You could seal the border tomorrow, and you would still have millions of illegals coming in. It's estimated that up to 40% of all the illegals here in this country came legally from all over the planet and simply overstayed their visas.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talks about addressing that. They're not even making promises about that. So you know they're not going to do anything about it. If we were to hermetically seal the border, more people would try to come in legally and simply overstay their visas. So you have to address the whole problem. And the problem is illegal immigration and our unwillingness to deal with it decisively once and for all. And I'm not saying you can make anything 100%, but I know we can solve this problem 98%, and that would have enormous benefits for this country permanently, frankly. So it's not a border issue. It's not a racial issue. The country has to make up its mind that this is not acceptable. It never should have been tolerated, and it will no longer be tolerated, and it has to apply to everybody here illegally. Now, securing the borders is fine. We're a great superpower. We kept the Red Army out of West Berlin for 30 or 40 years. And we have people saying, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, as usual. These are not the kind of people that built America and made it strong. We've become a nation of hand-wringers. It's not too late to step back from the brink. But politicians are fickle. They'll hold their fingers to the wind. They'll stiffen their spines when they feel it's safe to come out and say, you know what? Not only are we not going to do amnesty, it's time to address the issue of those that are here now. My constituents are talking about it. They're contacting me. They're angry. They want this resolved. And they can hide behind the fig leaf of saying, well, my constituents want this. If they're too gutless to say, you know, this is outrageous, we're going to solve this, we are going to send these people home. And yes, it might be traumatic for some of them, but they put themselves in that situation when they came here illegally, and they thought we would never wise up. Well, guess what? We're going to do it, and if they're disappointed, frankly, tough cookies, and that should be our attitude, because we have to think of our own people, all our future generations, our workers today, all those things I mentioned. We can't be tied up worrying about the feelings of trespassers. It's just that simple.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I mean, if you can come here illegally and vote and get welfare benefits and all the things that are going on now, I wonder how many of our folks that are in favor of all this stuff, not our political people, but I mean just our regular citizenry, I wonder how many of them know just what a drain it is. I mean, if you really care about the poor in this country, then, you know, why would you increase their roles?
Sure.
I don't think that's all that smart, actually.
I mean, why flood the job market with more people than there are jobs? It makes it that much harder for the people that are already here to support their families.
Well, most Americans, as you know, a lot of Americans don't really pay attention to politics. Maybe local politics, but not national politics. So a lot of people are clueless. They're not stupid. They just don't pay attention. And that's stupid.
Well, and politics can be a little unpleasant, and so many people don't like unpleasantness.
Well, the things that can happen to your country can be pretty unpleasant, too. So my belief is you do what you got to do now, and you reap the rewards and the benefits later, and future generations will thank you. You know, this used to be a sovereign nation, and it's kind of strange that the greatest superpower that the world has ever seen, the greatest democracy, the greatest champion of human rights, the country that has liberated more countries, lifted more people out of poverty and out of dictatorship, taken in more people, and frankly exported more jobs, just can't seem to do anything for itself. And that's because the political class is doing for itself. So the people out there, you know, you're going to get what you deserve. You were given a great country by the greatest generation. I'm in my 60s. My mom and dad's generation was the greatest generation. Now, we've made some terrific improvements since then. Environmental concerns, equal rights for women, civil rights. Those things I'm very proud of. In those areas, the country has moved forward. But in so many other areas, we started to slide backwards. And poll after poll shows that the American people feel the country is heading the wrong direction. That isn't just the economy. That's many things. And among those things, that would include our inability to just do what's best for ourselves, to have the guts to deal with the illegal immigration issue and look after American workers first. I think one of the reasons you have so many young men in gangs is because in their neighborhoods, all the jobs they used to be able to get are taken by illegal immigrants now. They don't have a job. They don't have hope. Of course, there are other factors, too, lack of fathers, things like that. But they join the gangs, and a lot of violence results. And by the way, another negative of illegal immigration is that it's estimated that every day between 10 and 20 Americans are killed in this country by people who aren't even supposed to be here. Now, that can be accidents, drunk driving, gang violence. Some of the worst gang members in the country are illegal immigrants. And this goes on day after day. Now, that's 3, 4, 5,000 people a year, American civilians, lost. 5,000 families devastated because of the death of a loved one due to people who aren't even supposed to be here. You take that back just 10 years, and that can easily be 50,000 or 60,000 people, many times the number of combat casualties we've lost in both wars combined. And yet that's a big story. The constant slaughter of Americans here at home is a non-issue because so many special interests consider all that the price of doing business. I think it was Republican Congressman Steve King of Iowa who came out with those statistics after having his staff do some research. So this is very real. We're bleeding. We're being victimized. We're losing our jobs. We've seen neighborhoods deteriorate to third world conditions. There are many cases in which African American citizens have been run out of their neighborhoods by illegal immigrants who simply take over and often use violence and threats of intimidation, saying, "We don't want you here." This is very real, and the people who live above these problems, they don't see what they're dumping on the rest of us, and they don't want to know. So there is no excuse for illegal immigration. There is no justification for their presence. There's no excuse not to deal with this. There's nothing good about illegal immigration. The only benefit is for those who profit from it for their own purposes. But in all my years of writing, I write a lot on Huffington Post, where you have a lot of amnesty supporters, although far fewer than you might think. Let me tell you, a lot of liberals are turning against this, too. But they just want to play the race card. They want to say you're evil, they're mean-spirited. And I ask them again and again, give me one good reason, just one reason, why you think endless illegal immigration and amnesties is actually good for America. Not the illegals, not the special interest, but for the country. And all the times I've done that, I have never had one answer, not one reply. And they realize there are no good reasons. They're defending these things because they're operating on automatic pilot. Mm-hmm. It's liberal orthodoxy to do this. They want millions of new Democrat voters down the road. They're focused on beating the right, and they don't understand that they're beating the whole country, that their country is going to become collateral damage if they win.
And themselves.
Yeah.
That's always, that's, and themselves. Themselves,
right,
and their
themselves.
Kids. I mean, we all lose. We need to take a really quick break here. We're going to come right back with Alex. We're talking about amnesty this morning. Thought we'd take a break from Libya and talk about amnesty. Why not? Let's talk about this country and its issues. We'll be right back with you here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM.
Radio, KCNR 1460. We're going to have back-to-back breaks here. But before we go to the next one, Alex, what do you think about Marco Rubio? What's the deal with that guy? Was he a sellout from the beginning? Or did they just make him a deal he couldn't refuse?
Well, that's interesting, and I wish I had an answer to that. You know, I have no political ambitions and never had. Mm-hmm. I've been nothing but an activist. But on this issue, my fantasies would be to sit down with the highest powers in the government, especially the Republican Party, and say, what on earth are you thinking?
Yeah.
Where are your priorities? What are you trying to accomplish? Yeah, I would like them to explain to me what their motivations are. And then I would, they could give me their pitch, and I'd hit them all off the center field fence. I mean, if you're not standing up for this country first, there are people in this country who go overboard with the ethnic thing. Now, I'm Latin in a sense. I'm Italian-American. They're the original Latins. But I'm American first, and 98%. The other 2% is the Italian part. Italians the world over are not my people. Hispanics the world over can't be Marco Rubio's people. His people are his fellow Americans. All Americans should see themselves as Americans first, whatever else they are. That's the mortar that binds our diverse bricks together. That's what keeps us strong. The left pushes the ethnic identity thing because it's part of their constant process of dividing Americans. Marco Rubio, is he an American first or is he Hispanic first? I've dealt with some important people. Well, Senator Menendez in New Jersey when he was a congressman. I saw him say something on TV, and I called up his office and talked to his staffer. And I said, given what he just said, I would like to know if he sees himself as an American first or a Hispanic first. And she got very happy and said, he's an American citizen. And I said, I know that, but that's not what I asked. Is he an American first or is he a Hispanic first? Where is his loyalty? And there was a long pause, and she said, he's an American citizen. And I said, thank you very much. There are plenty of people in our payroll who are ethnic heroes. When they think of their people, they're not thinking of you and me. Now, if I was Hispanic, my people would be all my fellow Americans, white, Hispanic, because they're Americans, not because they're Hispanics, blacks, Asians, Native Americans, whatever we have. But you don't say, oh, my people are my ethnic group, and that's where my loyalty and concern is, and I want them all to come in here and be amnesty. So I can't tell you where Marco Rubio is coming from. Maybe he just thinks this would be good for the Republican Party in the short term. But he's very young. Maybe he just doesn't have the wisdom to look at the long term. But you look at Mitch McConnell. He voted for the Simpson-Mazzoli bill, and he's still pushing amnesty. And he's still making excuses. He came out last week complaining about Obama's policy on coal. And he said, well, that's just a war on jobs. And I called up his office and sent emails and letters. And I said, the biggest war on jobs, Mitch, is illegal immigration. And yet you seem to support that. You don't care about those 8 million Americans. And those 8 million Americans have lost their jobs in trucking and construction, factory work, hotels, restaurants, every profession you can think of. We probably have illegal immigration doctors here and Hollywood film directors. So the idea that illegal immigrants are only doing the jobs Americans don't want is just totally stupid. It's inaccurate, and frankly, it's hateful. It's kind of racist on its own. I don't understand the motivations of our politicians. I really wish I could sit down and talk to them, because I could make them understand that they are doing the wrong thing, and that the good thing for the country, and really in the long term the safe thing for their own political careers, is to remind themselves that they're Americans, and they were hired to look after this country. And what they're doing now is just, it's craven, it's mean-spirited to America. The people who are against amnesty aren't mean-spirited. Illegal immigration is mean-spirited. And the people who support it are mean-spirited. And the people who don't even pay attention are mean-spirited. These are all the people that are hurting this country. So I'd love to talk to Rubio and the others. And, you know, I believe I could have an impact. I'm hoping to talk to Doug LaMalfa, sit down with him, and maybe he can help me reach out to other people. I tried for years to get on Bill O'Reilly's show, but he hates the issue, doesn't want to touch it, and he's pro-amnesty. And somebody like that in a position with his influence, if he talked about this issue honestly and stood up for America, that could give a lot of politicians the cover they need to start standing up for America. But it's very, very hard to reach out to millions of Americans for somebody like me, because I never started my own organization. And even the groups like FAIR, and Numbers USA, and ALIPAC, and the others. They're all against illegal immigration. But when you talk to them about sending people home, that's when they start getting wishy-washy. And they'll say, well, our board of directors hasn't authorized that, or we really don't do that, or Judicial Watch, they're against amnesty, they're against voter fraud. And I have talked to all of these people and written to all of them. You should have organized 10, 15 years ago and issued a joint communique. You should have had a summit and said, not only are we against illegal immigration, we are unified in our demand for repatriation. You should have got ahead of this issue years ago, put the other side on the defensive. But you all had your excuses for not doing anything, and now you're all complaining that you're close to defeat. And then I rub it in. I tell the people at Numbers and Fair, Dan Stein, I know him, I met him 20 years ago. I say, you're about to be out of a job, because as far as I'm concerned, if you haven't been advocating repatriation, all you've been doing is generating paychecks for 20 years. They don't like to hear that, but I think it's the truth.
And at the end of the day, let's face it, if this is the eighth round of this and we're still talking about it, their pushback is not working.
No, it is not working. You don't complain about, well, let's make English the official language, and you don't say, well, we don't want illegal immigrants to get Social Security. All of those things are legitimate, but they're not going to mean anything if you lose the war. You know, it's like in Vietnam. I'm a Vietnam-era vet, though I never went. But I remember the war well. We won every battle, and we lost the war.
Mm-hmm.
So winning these little battles, you know, patting yourself on the back because you defeated amnesty temporarily or you shut down this or that little program, that's nibbling around the edges. You win the war by defeating your opponent. And the opponent here is the presence of millions of illegals and all those who want that. For their own reasons. There are larger organizations, agendas, and issues at work here. This has to do with the way they want to reconfigure America, fundamentally changing America, like Obama said. We've got a great country, but we're letting it slide because of our ignorance, our lack of willpower and courage and bravery, and the fact that we keep reelecting idiots because we want our idiots in office instead of the other party's idiots. Well, it doesn't matter. We're all going to lose anyway.
Sure.
So
mm-hmm.
when it comes to an issue like your nation's sovereignty and your destiny, there are no Republicans or Democrats. There are only Americans, and that's what I encourage.
Yeah, we also, bottom line is we've got to remember that this isn't about people who come from Mexico to pick crops. I mean, these are a lot of folks who come from really scary countries
sure.
who get here a variety of ways who are not here to help this country.
This is not a Hispanic issue.
No, and that, it tends to muddy the waters. Let's take our last really quick break. We're going to come back and finish the top of the hour with Alex. We're talking about amnesty this morning, folks. We'll be back with you at We the People here on KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
She wrote down, let me in.
Where were you born, man?
Huh? Where was I born?
That's right, I said, where were you born?
Hey, are you one of those dudes that do horoscopes, man? Hey, I'm a Cancer with a bad moon rising.
Look here, El Fago, watch my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East L.A., man. I was born in East L.A.
Oh, yeah, you're born in East L.A. Well, let's see your green card, huh?
Green card? I'm from East L.A.
All right, well, then who's president of the United States?
Oh, that's easy, man. That guy that used to be on Death Valley days, John Wayne.
All right, let's go. Come on.
And we're back. We're going to jump on to the telephone where we've got a caller, Billy Bob. You're going to make a quick comment before we wrap up the show. How you doing?
Yes, good. Am I on?
You're on.
You are. You're following Cheech and Chong. No pressure.
Oh, I was laughing. All right, girls. Great show as usual. This is Billy Bob. Just wanted to take a minute and express my appreciation to Alex for all what he does. And I didn't get a website for him. That was my other question. But thank you, Alex. Great job, and you're very well spoken.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so wound up about this issue. I feel like I come across as a lousy speaker, but I'm hoping people will focus on content.
No, you're fabulous.
You do a great job, and thank you for all your effort. Keep up the good work. Thanks,
I will.
Thanks, Billy Bob. Hey, do you, Alex, do you still have the Sovereign Tea website up?
No, I haven't. I haven't done that blog for probably about a year now.
All right.
I do a variety of other things. I've never wanted to take on an organization or that kind of thing. I've always operated as an individual. I was part of a group for 10 years. I was the right-hand man of Voice of Citizens Together, founded by Glenn Spencer in 1990. And then he moved his operation to the border, where it's now American Patrol. So I've worked on my own all this time. I do what I can, guest columns, meetings, speeches, lots and lots of letters. In fact, I know we don't have much time. I want to bring up one or two other things. Recently, while writing on HuffPost about this issue, one of the pro-amnesty people wrote back to me and just wrote the complete Emma Lazarus poem that we see on the Statue of Liberty. And he was trying to remind me that immigration is a good thing and that we're supposed to do this and we're wonderful. And I wrote him back and I said a couple of things. I like the sentiments of that poem too, very, very much. But I see them as applying to legal immigration, not endless illegal immigration. Look at a calendar. It's not 1910 anymore. We're not a great big empty country that needs millions of people to settle it. We're not a nation that needs endless millions of undereducated and unskilled people. Those conditions are gone forever. They will never come back. Also, the Lazarus poem, as wonderful as the sentiments are and inspiring, was the expression of the private sentiments of individuals. It was not government policy and never was. It's an inspiration. But that's the kind of inspiration that you can turn into a nightmare. Everybody else's dreams on the planet can become our nightmare if we do this wrong, and it's already happening. So I would say the sentiments are wonderful. Let's do this right. Let's remember that this is the year 2013. Conditions are different. They're going to keep getting different. We don't need to do this anymore. You know, when I was young, I remember reading that the populations of China and India were like 300 million. And I thought, whoa, that's incredible. Now, within my lifetime, and I'm not finished yet, they're both well over a billion people. And exactly the same thing can happen to us, because now we are 316 million. And our population is exploding, not because of our own birth rates, but because of immigration, both legal and illegal. And we're going to regret that. When I took my conservation class in 1966, my first year of college, all the enviro groups came out and said, please, baby boomers, have only two kids. We've got 200 million people now. That's already too much. We need to stabilize our population. The single biggest threat to the environment, they all said this, was overpopulation. They don't talk about that anymore because they've become left-wing, and they think immigration control is a right-wing thing. Carl Pope, the former head of the Sierra Club, told me that. He said the reason the Sierra Club is not against illegal immigration is because we're afraid if we're seen cooperating with the right on anything, our bigger liberal donors will stop giving us money. And I said, Carl, you're selling out the environment for money, which is what you rag on other people for doing. But it's worse when you do it. And he knew it. He knew I had him. And so they won't even protect the environment anymore because they, too, want millions of new Democrats because the goal now is beating the right. It's not being right. It's beating the right and remaking the country the way they want. And that's what we're up against.
Alex, quickly, another caller wanted to know your take on anchor babies.
Oh, well, I'm against that. It was never meant to be like that, the 14th Amendment. And that's just another way in which we have hurt ourselves. But what the country has to do is get serious about this before it's too late, once and for all. Make all the changes that are necessary. Tell the world that's it. Mexico, you can get mad at us because we're not taking your people and we're not going to be sending home $25 billion a year in remittances. Too bad. We're going to look after our country, and we're going to set up a legal guest worker program that your people will find extremely beneficial. But our country comes first. No anchor babies. I'm against the DREAM Act. It's just time to say basta, and that's Italian. And it's just time to say
is that like
enough.
See you later?
We need to do all of this at once and do it right.
That's just about the long and the short of it. We do need to do it right, and it doesn't appear that the bill that's on the table is going that direction. We hear that the House is going to reject that. But it's time for all of us to pay attention because, mm-hmm. honestly, if we let this thing slide by, we're going to have bigger problems than than we have now.
All right, one last thing, if I may.
Shoot it.
Defeating amnesty is not enough. If that is defeated, I don't want the Republicans to come up with their version. Everybody has to say, we've defeated amnesty, now what? Now we start thinking about sending them home. That has to be part two.
We like it. Thanks for bringing that up because that gets left out of every conversation.
Alex, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome.
We'll try to have you on sooner than 2 years from now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Thanks, Alex. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Tune in next week, We the People Radio.
Good follow-up to 4th of July.
On KCNR, Shasta Redding.